biggest names in the Democratic Party to give his campaign some much-needed energy.
You got Stacey Abrams in here, two visits by the president, visit by the former President Obama, visit by the First Lady, visit by the Vice President. Why do you need all the help?
Yeah, why? John Carl at ABC wants to know why Terry McAuliffe in the Commonwealth of Virginia needs all the help. Because, you know, they rolled the state, didn't they? And that's the right word. They rolled it. That's what they say. Now it's a Democrat state. It's a commie state. That's what they say. You know, I don't use blue state, red state stuff because the left is red. They are everywhere in the world. They ought to be here as well. But the left here got to choose, so they chose blue. They're the Reds. Better dead than red. They're commies. Speaking of commies, one of their allies, Vladimir Putin. How much money is being funneled from Moscow to the Biden family coffers? How many millions? Question worth asking. Everyone at the Washington Post is busy not asking it. Well, happy Monday to you and welcome. We are at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is our telephone number. And the Washington Post, they had a kind of a humorous piece. I don't think it was intended to be satire, but it comes off that way. On Saturday, they had, who was it? Ann Curzon typed up a piece with the headline, They has been a singular pronoun for centuries. And then she made up a whole story in about 350 words about how William Shakespeare used to refer to people as they. Well, yeah, I mean, if we're talking about like, Michael Piercy went to the 7-Eleven over the weekend and he and his family, well, you know, they went to the, that doesn't really work. It's not true. They're making it up. But they've got a Shakespeare thing. I may get into that because it's as dim-witted as anything that was available over the weekend. Also, the Washington Post had a very hostile piece on Saturday. Putin slams trans rights, other values of the West. See, trans rights, that's a Western value. Interestingly enough, it's really not in France or in Germany or in Portugal or in Italy. Even in England and Great Britain and Wales and Ireland, trans rights, not really a big thing everywhere you go around the world. Go to Latin America, big trans rights things. It's trans rights are very big on the beaches of Phuket in Thailand, although be careful because they don't always tell you. And then you've seen the news stories. And then here among the Democrat Party, trans rights. Now, I'm for everybody's rights. Everybody should be allowed to be what they want to be and all that stuff. But the military is not a place where you go so you get your surgery for free, just by the way. But I do want to get into this Putin thing because it's Putin. My best girl and I were talking about this when we were walking around Washington over the weekend. Oh, and we happened upon this guy sound asleep, well, passed out, a mentally ill, drug-addled person sleeping on the sidewalk. It was close to our home, and everybody's just walking past him, walking by him, because it's a very liberal neighborhood, and there is very little humanity and caring for your fellow human being when you're a leftist. It's why they have gulags, like in, you know, China right now. They got the slave labor camps for the Uyghurs and all that. You see, over the weekend, the Chinese are tearing down all the domes of mosques across the country, because they want to force all the Muslims to enter mainstream communist Chinese culture and maybe get the Wuhan and die or something. Otherwise, they'll throw them in those forced labor camps in Western China, the gulags, where they have all the slave labor. And, they make a lot of stuff. Speaking of which, for Christmas, buy American. Be American, buy American. All these ships sitting off shore on the West Coast and stuff. Trick them. Buy American-made stuff. Find locally made crafts and things like that. Buy American this Christmas. It's the right thing to do for a whole range of reasons. Very practical. But I digress all over the place, don't I? So Putin slams trans rights, other values of the West is a big story. And honestly, it's not a big thing this trans thing is not big in Western Europe like it is here. The Democrats have a marketing campaign underway. They want your children to change genders because they figure then they'll vote Democrat. Pretty much the story with that. But the angry person, Amy Chen at The Washington Post, typed up a piece, also about 300 words, Vladimir Putin. You know, Putin, and they used to try to accuse President Trump of colluding with Russia. And in reality, of course, the Biden family has more ties to Moscow and oligarchs and Putin's inner circle than Donald Trump ever did. But reality isn't really the thing these days. Speaking of which, they're changing more words on us. They're changing more words. It's right out of George Orwell's 1984. The Newspeak Dictionary 10th edition is out, and the Democrat Party wants you to learn all the new words and their new meaning. But let me go to this. Putin slams trans rights, other values of the West, Amy Cheng writes at The Washington Post. And he gave a speech on Thursday where he mocked the West. And honestly, it's Phuket and the Democrat Party in the United States. And yeah, it's spelled differently, but it's pronounced Phuket. Okay, it's pronounced Phuket in Thailand. A lot of that been going on for a long time. Putin said in his Thursday remarks, The Washington Post writes, he said the notion that children are, quote, taught that a boy can become a girl and vice versa, end quote, is monstrous and, quote, on the verge of a crime against humanity, end quote. See how they take only fractions of his phrases because they're manipulating what he said, Amy Cheng is in The Washington Post. He also suggested that transgender rights supporters were demanding an end to, quote, basic things such as mother, father, family, or gender differences, end quote. Well, that, I mean, you know, Putin is a criminal and a murderer. That doesn't mean he's wrong about everything, does it? No, it doesn't. You know, Black Lives Matter came out. They were against the nuclear family. Karl Marx, interestingly enough, coming from Putin, against the nuclear family. Communists against the nuclear family. In 1984, George Orwell, they demolished the family and marriage because they're against it. And you see that going on now. George Orwell, 1984, United States of America, 2021, Democrat Party. Putin rules a country where there have been numerous credible reports of torture and imprisonment of gay men. Well, he's a communist. He's an authoritarian. And we're growing authoritarianism here. They do that in Iran. And, oh, the Taliban, which Joe Biden just turned Afghanistan over, the Taliban, they're hanging people all over the place for being gay. The news media doesn't talk about that because they think it might not reflect positively on Joe Biden. They're number one funders, the Obama-Biden administration, of the Islamic Revolution in Tehran. And they hang people, gay people, they say, from cranes. I've never seen any documentation of this. I have seen them hanging from cranes as the crowds chant Allahu Akbar. Again, it looks a lot like 1984, where they're hanging enemies of the party and the crowd is cheering big, big, big. But never mind that. And the Post says, Putin is trying to show how he, quote, stands for values that will not divide society and throw it into chaos. Well, the Democrats are advocating policies that will divide society and throw it into chaos, and the school system, and the children, and the family unit, and the parents. So just a few things to share with you on the Vladimir Putin. My best girl and I were talking. Oh, yeah, and the guy, we walked up on this guy sleeping on the sidewalk near our house. He was laying on his side with his legs curled up and his arms up and his hands folded under his head. And he was laying on the sidewalk, and he's clearly disheveled and dirty and filthy and hasn't bathed in weeks and unshaven. And he was moving a little bit. And I walked up to him as all these liberals that watch the PBS NewsHour were walking wide circles around him, saying, ooh, he's unclean. He's probably not even vaccinated. And they're probably right. He's probably not vaccinated. And this is what we do with mentally ill, drug-addicted people in Washington, D.C. and in major Democrat cities across America and really across the country, is we take the mentally ill and we cast them out into the street to fend for themselves, like it's Calcutta, where they eventually die, you know, like Groundhog Day, you know, the Bill Murray movie. And we talked about this guy in Groundhog Day when we were walking, because I actually walked up to him and stood next to him. And I looked at him. I kind of made a little noise to get his attention. And he looked up, completely mangled on drugs, bloodshot eyes, saliva all over his face, filthy, dirty, junky, mentally ill at the same time. And I stopped, my best girl and I stopped, and I said to him quite loudly and clearly, "Do you need an ambulance? Do you need an ambulance?" I said. And he was a little shocked that anybody said anything to him. And he said, "No." And then we discussed whether to call the police on him. But, you know, the police are overburdened, and they should send a social worker, right? They should probably send a social worker. This might actually be an instance where you send somebody, say, "Hey, you're a drug-addicted, mentally ill person who's off your meds," even though the taxpayers already pay for your meds. Maybe you should be taken to a facility somewhere where you're not going to die on the sidewalk, and we're not going to raise children in a society where junkies who are mentally ill are dying on the sidewalk in front of our children on their way to school. But that's not the society we live in, because the left is in charge. They have no regard for humanity, and they don't care about people dying on the sidewalk. They don't care about the junkies. They, Hunter Biden is a crack-addicted meth head with his pipes and his brother's badge and his everything else. All right, let's so a couple of things. And there are a great many things to get to. Changing words. It seems obvious now, probably. I actually watched the movie 1984 over the weekend, and it's reminiscent. It's on Amazon Prime, included with your subscription. And Richard Burton and what's his name? John Hurt. And it's not the greatest movie, but you'll recognize a lot of things from the movie that we're seeing today. A lot of things from George Orwell's 1984. A lot of things ring true today. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Grace, calling from Chicago, Illinois, the great WLS. Hey, it's Chicago. There's crime going on right behind her. That's good. Hey, Grace. Sounds like you're in Chicago, all right.
Yes, sir. I'm the Grace that talked to you last Monday, Chris. My husband is Strip.
Ah, yes, a police officer. Yes, I remember well. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for calling back in.
Thank you for your platform. I'm here to tell the people of Chicago, please get your tails down here and support us to stop this tyranny. It needs to stop.
You're at
please.
City Hall.
The people of Chicago need to come. Yes, sir. Yes, we are. And we're surrounded by our brothers and sisters who will not accept the tyranny anymore. We will not comply.
Well, and this is about the vaccine, and your husband is a Chicago police officer, and the... And the city of Chicago and Mayor Baby Groot are ordering police officers and first responders to submit and be vaccinated or be fired, in effect, right? Be sent home without pay. That's right, Grace.
Well, that's our position, but they have another way of looking at it. They want to say, well, it's your choice. You can choose to quit or retire. You don't have to get the vaccine. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. But we want them to come back to the table. The mayor single-handedly bypassed the city council and decided to declare this mandate that all city employees have to get the vax, in essence, in order to keep their jobs. We're saying she needs to come to the table. She sidestepped that important step, Chris.
She sidestepped the union and she sidestepped the city council.
Yes, sir.
All right, so you and a group of great Americans are down at City Hall in Chicago right now, and you're protesting against the mayor's policy. And she's ignored the union because, you know, the left, they love the unions, and the unions support the Democrat Party. And then the first chance they get, you're scrod. And they bypass the city council, and they're terrible, awful people. And they don't support the police. They're anti-police, obviously. They're Democrats.
Correct. And furthermore, Chris, if I could interrupt you for a minute, what they're doing here today is their vote. The aldermen are all gathering, 52 aldermen, to vote yes or no to Ordinance 274-155, which will hamstring the mayor from being able to do this, to just, you know, sidestep the negotiating process and declare what she wants as a rule. So that's what's happening here today, Chris. So the people, my message for the people of Chicago is that you need to pick up your phones and call the aldermen's offices that are not in that are not voting yes for this. The ones that vote no, then we know there will be some because it's a liberal blue city. We need pressure on those aldermen to vote yes and pass this ordinance, which if I could say, we appreciate this Alderman Tavares for drafting it. We appreciate that action.
Well, excellent. Grace, God bless you, and thank you. And I want you to, I am inviting you to call back in again and update us as this goes on. Chicago police family, Grace and her husband, a Chicago police officer, and the tyranny of the, you know, these unilateral actions by Democrats, from mayors to governors to Joe Biden in Washington. Absolute disgrace. Thank you, Grace. God bless you. Hey, make your dream a reality. Make your family's dream a reality. Build wealth for what matters to you. You can buy your dream home. GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Get your child a great world-class education. GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Save for retirement. GetInvestmentAdvice.com. Become your own boss. Take that vacation of a lifetime. Antarctica. GetInvestmentAdvice.com. You can watch your money grow as GetInvestmentAdvice.com helps you reach your financial goals for yourself and your family. Their innovative investment and financial solutions will assist you in managing your money to build a better future. Visit GetInvestmentAdvice.com to get started today. You simply open an account with GetInvestmentAdvice.com's world-class automated online system and get personalized investment advice that will help you make your financial goals a reality. But don't wait. Secure your family's future today with GetInvestmentAdvice.com. That's GetInvestmentAdvice.com, paid for by IP Financial Advisory Services, LLC. Yeah, Grace in Chicago, police wife, Chicago, called in last week. I hope she will call again and update me on what's going on. You know, it's a big push, a big movement around the country. A push back coming up.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
George Orwell over the weekend helped me to understand where the Democrats are going these days. The Washington Post has a story today. Parents claim they have the right to shape their kids' school curriculum. They don't. That's the headline. It's a piece written by an educator and historian, and it's right there in the Washington Post, so it must be true that parents have no role in educating their children. Turn him over to the state. That goes to 1984, too. No more marriage. You know, the women will be inseminated by the state, and then their children will be taken pre-K and turned over to the state. The Democrats are pushing for that now. Very, very Orwellian.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Yeah. named one of the best personal finance podcasts. The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
This story in the Washington Post: parents claim they have the right to shape their kids' school curriculum. They don't. That's the headline in the Washington Post today. And it's typed up by two radical leftists, Jack Schneider and Jennifer Berkshire. And they're educators. You know, they're leftists is what they are, more importantly. In their search for issues, it's an anti-Republican, pro-communist, pro-George Orwell 1984 kind of piece in the Washington Post. And their search for issues that will deliver Congress in 2022. Now, not everything is actually about that. This is common sense, straight up. If there were no elections ever to be held again, this would still be an issue. So they open with a lie. Let's just start with that. Jack Schneider and Jennifer Berkshire. They're so political that that's the only prism through which they see everything. In their search for issues that will deliver Congress in 2022, conservatives have begun to circle around the cause of, quote, parents' rights, end quote. Parents, and it's mocking in tone. They're already assaultive on conservatives who think that they have a role in raising their children, you see. But Karl Marx and, Big Brother don't think so. That's why they want to have pre-K, to take your children away while they're in diapers and start indoctrinating them to the ways of the party. Capital T, capital P. In Indiana, they type, Republican Attorney General Todd Rokita recently introduced a parents' bill of rights. How dare he? That asserts that, quote, education policy and curriculum should accurately reflect the values of Indiana families, end quote. How dare they? This is an outrage. This is at the Washington Post and these leftists from New England. They think that Upper West Side Manhattan transgender drug addicted broken family values should be the order of the day. And that's what they plan on implementing across the country. In Florida, the legislature, you know, they hate Florida because Ron DeSantis may be the next president of the United States. In Florida, the legislature passed an even more comprehensive bill, assuring that the state and its public schools cannot infringe on the, quote, fundamental rights, end quote, of parents. How dare they? A growing number of states are allowing parents to sue school districts. What do you mean allowing? That teach banned concepts. And in Virginia, Republican Glenn Youngkin has made parents' rights a centerpiece of his campaign for governor, staging Parents Matter rallies and declaring, I believe parents should be in charge of their kids' education. Now, of course, what they don't mention here, and we have the audio soundbite of Terry McAuliffe saying that he believes that parents should have no role in their education. Now, this is a kind of neo-fascism. It's kind of authoritarianism, where you take children away, strip them away from their parents, you demolish the nuclear family. All of this is in George Orwell's 1984. Some of it is in Karl Marx's Das Kapital. Here's what McAuliffe said. Here's what McAuliffe said. I know it's in there somewhere.
I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Yeah, there you go. And Glenn Youngkin, on the other hand, said, I believe parents should be in charge of their kids' education. See, this is the statists versus the Americans. Authoritarian, that's Terry McAuliffe, or American, that's Glenn Youngkin. Pretty straightforward proposition. You shouldn't raise your children. You shouldn't be in charge of what your children are taught. Your values should not be passed along to your children, because that's actually what they're saying. When do the interests of parents and children diverge, they ask? Generally, it occurs when the parent's desire to inculcate a particular worldview denies the child's exposure to other ideas and values that an independent young person might wish to embrace or at least entertain. No, that's none of your damn business, just for openers, girls. You people are really something. As the political scientist Robert Reich, he's Robert Reich III. He's the third Reich. He's of course, a Clinton administration official. So naturally, they quote him, has argued, minimal autonomy requires, especially for its civic importance, that a child be able to examine his or her own political values and beliefs and those of others with a critical eye. Yeah, that might be like a civics class or something. I don't think we teach that anymore. We teach rioting and protest and transgender. Is there a major in transgenderism, transgender studies? They have women's studies. I think it would be bigoted to not have transgender studies, wouldn't it? Just amazing.
You can't study them?
It might be. It's a little scientific. All right, so this is the Washington Post arguing that you should have no say, and they got a couple of academics to make the argument that you should have no say in the education of your children, and they believe that. And this is, I believe, that's essentially, well, it's statism for sure. It's a type of fascism, of neo or otherwise. And, you know, they always, people like to use neo in front of things. That doesn't really float me, whether it's neo or traditional. But these people, let me just say, are truly awful, and they are statists. And they want to take your children away, as the communists were always fond of doing as well.
We've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
Yeah, that's right. Belong to whole communities, not to your parents. It's the collective, you see. That's the thing about that. Now, there's another kind of ridiculous story in the Washington Post. When I say kind of, it's entirely ridiculous. And over the weekend, where they were making the argument, that these terrible, awful Republicans are saying bad things about Joe Biden. And there's a chant, which we all know, beep Joe Biden. We have and we see him at college football games and at concerts and we see we've heard the chants and the cleaned up chant because of the Talladega 500 and Brandon Brown won the Talladega 500 and the NBC News sports broadcaster woman made a little joke because the crowd at Talladega was chanting the somewhat vulgar chant of beep Joe Biden.
Brandon, you also told me you can hear the chants from the crowd. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon became the thing. We have Let's Go, Brandon sportswear and coffee mugs and hats at the Chris Plant store on Al Gore's amazing internet. So the Washington Post, they have decided to take umbrage with this harsh language. And they typed up a piece on behalf of the Biden White House and the Democrat Party and an attack on Republicans. So it's a twofer for them. Biden critics hurl increasingly vulgar taunts is the headline. And Ashley Parker and Carissa Wolf typed up the story. There are actually two other reporters on the story, too. So there were a total of four reporters on this phony story. If you go to the bottom of the story, you see that they had also Sean Sullivan and Matt Visor. Oh, wait, and Dave Weigel. I apologize. It was five journalists working on this story. And they're very upset. And it's in such poor taste for people to taunt Joe Biden with the beep Joe Biden chant. And then they're also upset with the Let's Go Brandon because, you know, they're Well, I can't use the word I'm thinking. They're weak, feckless clowns, and they're not journalists at all. It's a thin-skinned gang of Democrats who, by the way, started all of this stuff years ago. Boise, Idaho is the dateline, though. Most of them are not in Boise, five reporters. And they attack some people in Boise for having signs in front of their houses and complaining about $4 a gallon gas and about the debacle in Afghanistan and about COVID-19 mandates. And so they attack everybody in this story. And then they say that they point out that on Wednesday, the president visited Scranton, Pennsylvania. He was greeted at the corner of Biden Street by there's a Biden freeway, President Biden freeway there, expressway outside of Scranton as well, because it's a cult. You know, he's a disaster of a president. You're going to have to take it down after a while. But he was greeted on the corner of Biden Street by a woman holding a handmade sign that said, "Beep, Joe Biden," with the American flag as the vowel in the offending word. See, they're very prudish when it comes to this sort of thing. And back in Boise, Rod Johnson, a retired gunsmith, they hate that, had hung a blue flag from his roof on his house that said, "Beep, Biden." And underneath in smaller letters, it said, "And beep you for voting for him." Okay? And then they're very upset about this. And then they try to turn it into a racial issue because they're the left and they kill 40% of the black population. But never mind that. And then they go on to say that they're also upset that people are saying, "Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon," which is the PG version. We've been talking about this since it started. "Let's go, Brandon." The result has been a proliferation of chants in recent months. They're very upset of "Let's go, Brandon." How dare you say "Let's go, Brandon"? Now, let's keep a couple of things in mind here. The Democrats have been using these vulgar words for a very, very long time in the context of politics and attacking. We had what do you like? We got first of all, let's go to some politicians. Let's go to the before we get to the entertainment people, right? And where does that start, Michael? Let's hear. What is it?
18.
Number 18. Soundbite number 18 is where it begins. That's on page 6 of our very complete thing. Rashida Tlaib is a Democrat member of the House of Representatives, not a gunsmith in Boise. And the Washington Post is just fine with Rashida Tlaib saying this while President Trump was in the White House.
"We're going to go in there. We're going to impeach the motherfucker."
And the crowd cheers. And they couldn't be more excited. They're titillated by the whole thing. She's a member of Congress, a member of the vaunted squad, a hero of the revolution. And that's okay, much worse than "Beep Joe Biden" or "Let's go, Brandon." And "Let's go, Brandon" is too harsh for the Washington Post, too. And then a crowd at a Democrat gathering yelling about President Trump. Now, of course, it's the same word. And
guys, so what happened here?
And it's so they're chanting F-word Trump, F-word Donald Trump, F-word Donald Trump. And these five reporters at the Washington Post had nothing to say about that the whole time, interestingly. There was a crowd in France after a soccer game doing the same chant, F Donald Trump.
Greg Palcott is live in Lyon. Hey, Greg.
Guess what? History has just been made, Arthel. We are here in a sports Lyon, France. Here, listen to it. The sports, we were outside. We were looking at screen.
Now, this was the U.S. women's soccer team in France that Megan Rapinoe and the gang, and they're chanting, the English-speaking part of the crowd is chanting F-word Donald Trump. And, of course, the Washington Post didn't write a story about that. That wasn't too harsh. That wasn't uncivil. That wasn't increasingly vulgar taunts being hurled at the president because they were chanting along in the Washington Post newsroom. Kamala Harris was on the campaign trail, and she was standing up on stage, cameras, the news media, mothers, grandmothers, children in the audience, and Kamala Harris is now vice president.
"You might as well say, well, people don't starve because they don't have food. What the f***
that?
And they all cheer, and they're all excited. They couldn't be more excited. Kirsten Gillibrand is a Democrat senator from the state of New York, and she was on stage in front of grandmothers and children and cameras and live on TV.
Has he kept any of these promises? No. No. Instead.
Did she use the F word? Because that's it. And then Kirsten Gillibrand again.
Fundamentally, if we are not helping people, we should go home.
See, there, and it's that's okay, because that's when Democrats do it. It's not vulgar at the Washington Post. Madonna was at the, pink knit hat thing on the mall the day after Inauguration Day.
It took this horrific moment of darkness to wake us the f*** up.
Madonna at the big march.
And to our detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything, f*** you.
There you go. And Beto O'Rourke, while he was campaigning, he thought he was going to be president.
All of you showing the country how you do this.
Can you imagine?
I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
And, of course, AOC of the squad, hero of the revolution.
On a scale of zero to some, how many f*** do you give?
Yeah. I think it's zero.
That's what I thought.
And then, of course, there's Alec Baldwin, who shot and killed that woman last week on the set.
We need to overthrow the government of the United States under Donald Trump.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, that's all okay. That's all fine. That's all good stuff. But the Washington Post, very upset at the Let's Go Brandon and the other chant, because were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. Just extraordinary. Hey, you know, winter is just around the corner. You notice you're pulling out the jackets and stuff, right? That means cold and flu season is drafting just behind it, like a NASCAR thing, you know. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier destroys a whole lot of the common viruses and bacteria that cause cold and flu season and help keep you and your family safe. Listen, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier uses the same technology that hospitals use to clean and sanitize airborne contaminants, all without using smelly, dangerous chemical sprays. The Thunderstorm uses oxy technology to produce O3 molecules. For that clean smell, like just after a thunderstorm, the Thunderstorm kills hidden dangers, like when someone sneezes, as well as foul-smelling odors, cigarette smoke and kitty litter boxes, cooking smells, leftists, you know. Plus, there are no filters to replace. Saves you money, means no maintenance to worry about. You just set it and forget it. And right now, Eden Pure is offering their 3-pack. You can hold one in your hand. They're not a big piece of furniture. 3 Eden Pure Thunderstorms for whole home protection for under $200 American. So be prepared this cold and flu season. Get several thunderstorms for your home. All you have to do is go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in the discount code Chris3. That's me and the number 3 to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is Chris3, and shipping is free. Yeah, that's, were it not for double standards. The Washington Post, I had to laugh out loud because they ignored all this stuff for years. And now one pops up that isn't a ringing endorsement of them, and suddenly it crosses a line, vulgar taunts. Maybe you should have spoken up on all of these other occasions, and then you'd have a shred of credibility. As of now, you don't.
And by the way, let's go, Brandon.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
President Trump was in the White House at the Tonys. Award-winning actor Robert De Niro on stage, live TV, national TV, said this.
I'm going to say one thing. F*** Trump.
And the crowd goes wild. The crowd of Democrats, Washington Post reporters, they go wild.
It's no longer down with Trump, it's F*** Trump.
All right, well, then they go even wilder. See, now, they establish the precedent. They set the tone. They use the word. And then they're outraged when it comes back to bite them because they're just clowns and hypocrites. By the way, the Washington Post had to post a correction. They said at a Donald Trump Jr. rally in Georgia in September, the crowd broke into Let's Go Brandon, but it was really F Joe Biden that they chanted. Five reporters and an editor, and they got it wrong.